Today's message is entitled Protect This House. And on your outline there, I gave you the verse that we've been looking at for close to a month now on I forgot to put the cursor where it needs to go, I'm sorry. Protect This House, December the 5th, 2010. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no ongoing, that's one step, progressive, two steps, redemptive, three steps, revelation, four steps. Of the will of God, where there are not these four steps, people wander aimlessly. They wander without direction. And they do so until they die. I currently serve this church bivocationally. I call what I do here on Sunday my joy, what I have to do Monday through Friday as my job. I have a job and a joy. And I serve this church bivocationally, but I serve this church single-purposedly. Single-purposedly. That I believe that God has within His heart, within His mind, and within His plan, a plan for us. And so the singleness of purpose is to pursue the will of God, not only for our lives individually, but for our lives corporately. Last week, Pastor Mike brought his friend Dan to church, and I heard after Dan and I were introduced to each other, and Dan was walking away, I heard Mike say to Dan, "If you think I'm opinionated..." And I will grant you that that is true. I think that the difference between myself, though, and most preachers that I run into is that I only share that opinion with you when you ask for it. That as opposed to feeling like I am somebody and so everybody's entitled to my opinion, I really will only give it to you whenever you ask for it. But when you ask for it, trust me, and it will be the truth. I'm not the most politically savvy person in the world, nor do I even care about being savvy. I don't care about being savvy. I do care about right and wrong. I do care about right and wrong. Because I believe that Jesus is in the right. And it seems to me that right is neither popular nor easy. Right is neither popular nor easy. But right is still right. This morning I was greatly encouraged listening to my radio coming in. And I was listening to a song I've heard 1,000 times about the voice of truth. I wished I had the lyric in the verse goes, "I wish I had the courage to step out of this boat. And the giants in my world tell me that I'm a failure and that I have failed and I will fail again. But the voice of truth tells me something different." And what a life is about, ladies and gentlemen, is making a choice to listen to either the voice of truth or the lie of the enemy. That's what life is all about. And we are, by default, listening to one or the other. And I don't really care about being politically correct. What I care about is being right. My favorite line of clothes is called Under Armour. That's why I've got one on today. Their symbol looks like that. That's the Under Armour symbol. I love Under Armour clothes. This is one of them right here. I like the way they look. I like the way they feel. I like this line of clothing. And one of their, that's another, I took that off their website. That's a little better symbol of what, or show a picture of what their symbol looks like. But their theme at Under Armour Clothing is protect this house. Now, of course, this is in a sports line, you know, so it's house, for those of you non-sports people, house is what you call where you play your home games, okay? So if you go to a particular school or if you're the Carolina Panthers, you would consider Bank of America Stadium to be your house, okay? And so whenever someone else comes to play you there, your job is to protect your house, okay? You don't lose at home. And if you're a Bobcat fan, it would be Time Warner Arena would be your house. And and one of the expressions in sports is you never want to lose at home. Okay, you never ever want to lose at home. Okay, and so Under Armour, because that's what they sell to, is basically sports people. Although I just learned last week that they have come out with a line of sniper clothes. I'm not a sniper, but they're working with the military and have come out with a line of sniper clothes. But it's amazing how much Under Armour junk I got. During the week when I'm at my job, I wear Under Armour shoes. And I got Under Armour socks. And, I got an Under Armour belt. And when I'm in the airport, I got on an Under Armour backpack. I love their stuff. I won't tell you what Anna calls me. Okay? Cause it might be inappropriate for in here. But, you know, but I got a whole bunch of that stuff and I just love it. I just love it. Because protecting this house is what my job is here. Now the religious, they want to jump up and go, "Oh, that's God's job." Sit down and shut up. I did. Because I promise you, when the lion appeared in the shepherd field, David didn't go, "Well, God, they're your sheep." He went and killed a lion.
Thank God.
He killed a bear. Yes. It prepared him for the Goliath.
Yes.
Okay, so, but the super spiritual, they all want to get all spooky wookie. Okay. Okay. Take your spooky wookie somewhere else. I got no time for spooky wookie. But I got time for what God wants to do. Told you, I started off by saying not very politically correct, not very politically savvy, but tell me that what I just said to you was not the truth. It's my responsibility as the pastor here to look at the big picture. And today what I'm hoping to do is take that big picture and break it down into smaller pieces. We have been in a season of testing. We have been in a season of trial, much like the testing and the trial that Gideon went through. This morning as I was taking my shower and shaving, and actually I had finished my shower and I was stepping out, we have a little bit tiny bathroom, and so we have this big stand-up cabinet out in the hallway, and all of my cosmetics and stuff is in that little thing. So you step out of the bathroom, open the doors, and there's all your cosmetics. And this morning, I can tell you all this because it's as vivid as if it was happening right this moment. This morning, I'm stepping out of the shower or out of the bathroom and standing there at that closet. And I'm thinking about this message today. And I'm thinking about this part right here where I'm telling you about our trial and our testing has been much like Gideon. And I heard the voice of God inside my heart say to me, "Yeah, that was the second one." And my spirit answered without me answering, and I said, "When was the first test?" And he said, "The first test is when they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son? He can't be God's man.'" And there were a lot of people over a period of years who knew no my story, who knew and know Joseph's story. And they got thinned out because they said, oh, we know him. He can't be God's choice. And yet, time and time and time again, God has proven that I was His choice. For this time, for this hour, and for this place. That it's amazing to me that all those who've walked out the door going, you'll never survive without me, I am surviving Hallelujah. Without them. Because we never intended to survive on you or them or anybody else. I survive by the grace of an almighty God. But the second thinning that we've been going through is just like the one that Gideon did in Judges chapter 7. In verse 2, God said to Gideon, you have too large an army with you. I can't turn Midian over to this army like this. Because if I do, they'll take all the credit. The army will say, we did it all ourselves, and they'll forget about me, God said. So make a public announcement, Gideon. And make this announcement, Gideon. Anyone who's afraid, anyone with any qualms at all, you may leave Mount Gilead now and go home. 22 companies headed for home, leaving 10 companies were left. So in other words, Gideon stood up before the army and said, if you have any fear or any hesitation whatsoever about going to war, go home. And two-thirds of them said, let's go. Two-thirds said, okay, thank you. All I need to hear. Turned around and left. God said to Gideon, there's still too many. Take them down to the stream. And I'll make a final cut. When I say this one goes, he'll go. When I say this one doesn't go, he won't go. So Gideon took the troops down to the stream. Verse 5, God said to Gideon, everyone who laps with his tongue the way a dog laps, set them to one side. Everyone who kneels to drink, drinking with his face to the water, set to the other side. 300 lapped with their tongues from their cupped hands, and the rest knelt to drink. Now let me show you in demonstration what we're talking about here. Gideon takes them down to a stream and says, okay, everybody, let's drink. Get you some water before we go to battle. Some of them got down on all fours and stuck their face down in the water and lapped the water like a dog. Some of them walked down to the stream and knelt down, took their cupped hand and put water in their hand and then raised their hand up to their face and drank out of a cupped hand. God said, all of those who are on all fours with their mouth in the water lapping it like a dog, send them home. You can go. Why didn't he send the other ones home and keep the ones who lapped like a dog? Because they kept their eyes up so they could watch the enemy. The ones who squatted were always ready for whatever was coming. They never took their eyes off the prize. Never take your eyes off the prize. Don't ever forget that we are in a war. Tomorrow, the property is coming off the market.
Hallelujah.
It's going to fall into our laps that since we are going to be staying here, that there's going to be a lot of upkeep things that we're going to need to do. Because I'm going to tell you something, we're not going to serve God in this house half-heartedly. There are some who are rejoicing because they feel that the church coming off the market makes their opinion right and me wrong. But it really isn't a matter of right and wrong. But I will say this, I would rather have trusted, tried, and failed than to have thrown a temper tantrum, not trusted, and succeeded.
That's right.
There's no place in the kingdom to stand still. There's no place in the kingdom to play it safe. If I, as your pastor, ever become complacent and I refuse to move forward or I want to play it safe, I want you to bring it to my attention. If I will not hear you, I want you to bring it to the elders' attention. If after their investigation they decide that you're right and they bring it to my attention and I refuse to hear them, I'm telling you right now, elders, I want you to tell it to John. If John investigates and he finds out that I've become complacent, that I've decided to play it safe, or that I'm not moving forward with what God has told me to do, I'm authorizing John to tell me to step down, and I will. Because there isn't any place in the kingdom for backing up. Once you put your hand to the plow, you got to always keep moving forward. Don't ever just stick your tongue in the water, but cup it in your hand and always be ready for a fight. So let's talk about the vision and about the big picture. Number one, to see the face of God, to experience the very presence of God. Please, I chose these words carefully. In my job, one of the things I say to my training classes is, in the vocation that you and I are in as salespeople, words are important. Words are important. In fact, one of the things Anna, I tell all over the country, is the story of me and Anna were riding down the Highway 74 there in Monroe, and there's a sign out in front of our local Arby's that says 10 items for $1. And I looked over at Anna and I said, hallelujah. We're going to go over there, man. Supper's going to be $1 tonight. Because we can buy 10 items and only have to pay $1. Because that's what the sign says. Now, every one of us understand what the manager meant. But what he meant, what he said, was two entirely different things. And then, of course, in my job, I go on to say that's the problem with salespeople. Salespeople expect the customer to figure out what they mean. It's not the customer's job to figure out what you mean. It's your job to say what you mean. It's my job to say what I mean. And I'm going to tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fire that burns in my bones. Amen. I've chosen these words carefully. To see the face of God.
Hallelujah.
And to experience His very presence. Not, I feel Him, I sense Him, I'm aware of Him. I got hair standing up on my neck. I got goosebumps on my arm. And I'm not decrying any of those things. All those things are fine. But I've had all those things. What I'm talking about today is moving forward. I'm talking about taking another step into the holy place. I'm talking about taking another step into the Holy of Holies. I'm talking about Shekinah between the very wings of the cherubim and a voice that cries out and says, come in here and worship me for I am worthy. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to be satisfied on this side of eternity with anything less. Let's just lay it out there. No games, no playing around, no horsing around, not going to be happy until I look up and I see Him face to face. Number one. Started there because that's the basis on which I will tell you right now, every decision made is going to be made based on that. Does it move me closer to it or does it not? And if it doesn't, we're not going there. I want to see Jesus. This side of eternity. I know I'm going to see Him on the other side. What stops me from seeing Him on this side? Only my unbelief. I'm going to say it one more time because I stumbled over it. Only my unbelief. Because it's not that He's not here. It's just that I don't see. So open my eyes, God, that I might see. Even if it scares me to death, open my eyes anyway and scare me. Because I trust You. Number two. Gonna love God. They came to Jesus and they said, what's the number one thing we ought to be concerned about? He said, love God. That's right. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with all your being, love God. Love God. Should I pick up this Kleenex box? I don't know. Can you do it while you're loving God? Doesn't make any difference what it is. Love God. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it loving God. Whatever it is I'm thinking about, love God. Whatever it is I'm meditating on, love God. Love God. Number one rule, love God. And love Him like you'd want to be loved. How many of you want to be loved by somebody who talks to you only when they got something to say, doesn't want to listen to you when you got something to say? Okay. Okay, we won't go there. Anyway, moving right along. Mike said, been there.
I'm free, thank you, Jesus.
Love God. Rule number one. Rule number two, love one another. Because you see, here's the truth. The truth is, I can't say I love God whom I've not seen if I don't love Bobby who I can see.
Right.
Now, I may not necessarily love everything Bobby does, but that's not my job. My job is not to love everything Bobby does. My job is to love Bobby. My job is not to rubber stamp everything Bobby does. Oh, Bobby, don't worry about it. That's okay. I'm sure your intentions were good. I don't care what your intentions were. If you did something stupid, Bobby, I'm going to tell you, that was stupid.
That's right.
You want me to lie to you, Bear? That's right. That's why I asked you, because I knew what the answer was before I asked you. Not going to lie to you. If you do something stupid, I'm going to tell you it's stupid. If it's dumb, I'm going to tell you it's dumb. I'm going to love you through your dumbness.
That's right.
And you know what I'm going to ask in return? Do you love me through my dumbness?
That's right.
Because I'm not above doing dumb things. Number three, enjoy God and enjoy each other. Enjoy God and enjoy each other. The Westminster Confessional, the chief end of man is to enjoy God. And to praise Him always. Then the Don Hall Confessional. And love each other. And enjoy each other. No place right now I'd rather be than right here with you.
Amen.
The minute I walk out the door, I'm looking forward to next Sunday. Because I love being with you. Number three. Let me see what it is before I get there. Okay. Number three. To be committed to excellence, I chose my words carefully. The word there is not perfection. The word is excellence. To be committed to excellence in worship and committed to the word. Not to be hearers only, but to be doers also. I am dumb enough to believe that God said what He meant and meant exactly what He said. I'm dumb enough to believe that. Thank you. Got any other dummies in the room?
Amen.
I'm dumb enough to believe that God said what He meant and meant exactly what He said. So when we get to talking about multiplying casserole dishes,
that's right.
I look back and I say, did you ever multiply food before? And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, well, you told me you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change.
That's right.
And if you don't multiply the casserole dishes, guess what? That's fine. Do I look like I've missed a meal? No answer. Thank you, Woody. There's somebody who loves me. Committed to an excellence in worship. When worship starts, stop talking.
That's
You're
right.
Talking to the wrong person.
That's right.
Don't let anything distract you from worship. To be excellent, what does that mean, Pastor Don? That means to be the best we can be.
Yeah.
Don't have to be as good as somebody else or better than anybody else. We just got to be the best we can be. That's what excellence means. Be the best you can be. And committed to the Word. If the Word says it, I can do it. Because greater is Him who is in me than he that is in this stinking, rotten, going to hell world. Loose paraphrase, but it still works. Number four, to create a religion-free, judgmental-free environment.
Yes.
I hate religion and everything it stands for. Because Because Jesus didn't die for a religion. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. Jesus died so that we might be in fellowship with the Father. Jesus is not coming back for Baptist.
Come on.
Maybe I should say He's not coming back especially for Baptist. He's coming back in spite of them. Just kidding. Just kidding. Only God is holy. Everybody else gets picked on. Jesus didn't die on the cross for a religion. Didn't die on the cross to start a religion. Died on a cross to reconstruct the bridge so that you could walk from your side over to God's side and live with God forever. He died on that cross so that He could reach up and take a hold of the veil and tear it from the top to the bottom, and there would be no separation between God and man.
Hallelujah.
He died on that cross so that the angel that is guarding the door at Eden could be dismissed from his post, and you can go back to walking in the garden in the cool of the day and hear God speak to you. That's why Jesus died. And religion tears every bit of that down. Religion forces us to have an allegiance to a creed and to a culture instead of an allegiance to a person.
That's right.
And I promise you, being one of the most religious people in this room, I can smell it when it drives in the parking lot. You ask an alcoholic if he can see an alcoholic coming a mile away. What's the answer? Can a drug addict see a drug addict? Can a woman... Hear my words now so I can say this appropriately. Can a woman see a player?
Amen.
When he walks in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can be on the other side of the room, not even looking his direction. The minute the player walks in, she knows. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. When religion pulls in the parking lot, I recognize that sorry, no good something. Because I've lived most of my life there. And I thank God that what I used to smell and think was a rose, I now consider to be a dung heap. Because it never moved me closer to Jesus. All it did was make me, I was the king and didn't have any clothes on and rode down the road and everybody thought I did. Because it was about that stupid. To create a religion free, judgmental free. Once again, and this is what gets me in trouble right here. But you know what? Once again, I don't care about being politically savvy. I'm not worried about political correctness, and I'm not worried about none of that junk. What I'm concerned about is right and wrong. Okay? Wrong is wrong, has always been wrong, is wrong today, and will always be wrong. I will never tell you that wrong is right. What I will tell you, though, is that in your wrongness, I'm not going to judge you and I'm going to love you no matter how wrong you are.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've always been saying. But I get a phone call every time this subject comes up, Dan, I get a phone call the following week. You're telling people it's okay to live in sin. I never say that. And only the Pharisaical hear that.
That's right.
Only religious people hear that. And if that's what you heard, you're religious.
Yes.
End of subject.
Right.
Are we having fun yet?
That's good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Number five. To see real spiritual growth in the lives of those who call Lamplight Church home. Not religious growth, real spiritual growth. Define that for me. Okay, good. Glad you asked.
Yeah.
It's easy to say bless God when things are going well. Can you say it when things are going bad? Those who are growing can. It's easy to raise your hands when you got a promotion at work, but can you raise your hands when the person beside of you got their promotion and you didn't? The one you thought you deserved. Real spiritual growth is about when they revile you and rebuke you in my name's sake. and say all manner, thank you, I couldn't remember how that verse ended, and they say all manner of evil against you. That's why I hired him as the associate. Although I thought Michelle's job was to finish my sentences. But... Charlie, I need to go home with you.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
At least while you're getting beat up, we're laughing, aren't we? Now y'all made me forget where I was. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's the funniest mean sermon I ever heard. Get real spiritual growth. Real spiritual growth, by my definition, is always moving up, not moving up and down. When things are good, I'm going up. When things are bad, it's, where is God? God's where He's always been.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? He never moved. Okay? And it doesn't make any difference whether it's the brightest sun or the darkest night. God's still sitting on His throne. His love for us has not changed. His mercies are renewed afresh every morning. Every morning. And real spiritual growth is not how we respond when things are going well, but how we respond when things are not going well. That there was a time in my life, Pastor, when this would have just devastated me. But today, I can trust God in the middle of it. That is growth. That is growth. I'm not talking about going from 50 to 500. That's not growth. Okay, well, that is a form of growth. Okay? But that form of growth brings huge headaches, which is fine if that's what God wants to do. Fine. But I'd rather have 50 with real growth than 500 who are playing. I don't run a daycare and don't intend on opening one. Number six. No. Number six. I want to share with you a vision that I have. And I understand this is not going to happen today. It's not going to happen next week. It may not happen while I'm alive. That's fine. Okay? Because my job is to have the vision. My job is not to fulfill the vision. My job is to be faithful in the midst of the vision. Okay? Moses didn't lead them into the promised land. Okay? So sometimes there are some people who lead you so far, then they leave and somebody else leads you the rest of the way. I don't know if or when this vision will ever come true. No. Thank you. I said too much, didn't I? Okay, I don't know when this vision will come true. I just know that this is the vision that I have for where we are. Thank you very much, Cindy. You ready? Yeah. Number six. Currently, our building is 100 feet. By 50 feet. And obviously, I can't draw. Okay? But you get the main idea. Alrighty? And on this end is the sanctuary. So that's kind of so that you can see the drawing. Okay? That's the sanctuary. And there's a driveway. There's a paved driveway where the pastor parks every Sunday. Right there. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. What I want to do is I want to come off of this building. And I'm out there in that used to be a playground area, whatever that field area is out there. And I do have a friend of mine who Karen Johnson's husband, Ted. I'm gonna get him to draw this up for us so that we can actually have a picture to look at. Okay? What I want to do is I want to take that space out there that's grass now. I want to put a building out there. On this end right here is where the kitchen will be. With a door that here, there'll be a walkway that's right here so that whenever you need to take food or whatever into the kitchen, you can You can park right here and walk up that walkway and walk into the kitchen. You with me? Across the front here will be offices. Okay? My office will be on this end with a separate entrance so I can come and go without having to come into the rest of the church if I need to. There'll be an office for Pastor Mike. There'll be an office for our youth pastor.
Yep.
What youth pastor? The one that's coming?
Yeah.
Oh, when's he going to get here? I don't know. But he's coming.
Hallelujah.
Right. And if you don't believe, he ain't never coming. And then on the end down here would be a secretary's office. What is now the secretary's office, where that window is on the side, on the end of the building there, that would become a door, and that office would probably become a copier room kind of thing in there for doing all that kind of stuff. My office, we would come and put a wall in my office so that where my desk is, to create a hallway so that because here's the hallway here, so when you're coming down the hallway, if you go straight down the hallway, what you hit is my door. And so we'd create a small hallway there that takes you into this gym that's right here. What is now currently my bathroom, the wall between my bathroom and Dorothy's nursery's bathroom, would be taken out. That whole bathroom would be reworked to where you can actually get an adult and a child in the bathroom at the same time. Because okay? her bathroom is so small now, you can't help a child in the bathroom because you can't get an adult and a child in there at the same time. So that whole little area right in there would all be totally reworked for a bathroom for the nursery. What is currently the kitchen would become another classroom. Okay? And then when Pastor Mike moves out here, his office that he's currently using, that's right here, would become the sound booth. The sound booth would move from up there down to here. We just cut a hole in that wall right there. Sound booth would be there, and the kitchen would become another classroom. Then you got a classroom here, and then you got the nursery here with a bigger bathroom. There's a window here also. We'd create a door so that from the nursery they could get into the gymnasium also. Okay, and have like a little half court. I don't think it's big enough for a full court, but have a little half, maybe a half court with two rims like this for being able to play like two half court games at the same time. Then what we would do is make this floor in such a way that all of our cover dish and meetings and all that, and wedding rehearsals or wedding. Thank you. Would be all kind of could be done in this area right here where the kitchen is, okay, and separate from the rest of what it is we're doing out here. Yes, ma'am. That is exactly right. Yes, plenty of power. Okay, huh? And more sinks, yes. And in fact, all that kind of input we will work towards. So over the next couple of 3 weeks, I'm going to get Ted to draw this up for me, and I'm going to get in. And what Ted is, he is a price estimator. That's what he does for a living. He goes to people who make a lot of money, like football players and basketball players, and says, what do you want your house to look like? And whatever it is they want their house to look like, he draws it up and then tells them what it's going to cost to build the house that way. And he told me that one of the Panthers, you know, when you're in a Bilo store, if you're in a Bilo grocery store, you know that train track they got running all the way through the Bilo grocery store? One of the Panthers football players has got one of those running through his entire house. The guy's a train fanatic, and he's got trains. He's got this train that runs on the ceiling all the way all through all of his house. And Ted engineered that entire thing. What's it going to cost to buy the track, the train? How you going to wire it and the whole night? And this is what it's going to cost you in the end. Okay, he's a cost estimating engineer is what he is. So I'll get him to draw this up for us, and I'll twist his arm to make him do it for free. And we'll get this thing drawn up once again. You know, are we breaking ground next week? Who knows? Who knows? I might be. You know. Barra might come up to me after it's over and say, you know what, Pastor Don, I got $1 billion in the bank. I've been looking for a vision to put it in. Yeah, you go, Vera. But do you know what? I don't know. You know? I don't know. You know, I don't know what Vera's got and what Vera doesn't got. I don't know what Bobby's got and what Bobby hasn't got. I know Leroy hoards a lot of money, but, you know, I don't know if it's this kind of money or not. Yeah, that's right. Leroy's been stealing out of the teal over at the hospital. And just kidding. I don't know what is in the room, what's not in the room. I don't know once the vision is birthed, I don't know what God's going to bring in.
That's right.
That might very well birth it. That's exactly right. But you know what? For all the things I don't know, what I do know is that God's big enough.
Yeah.
That's what I hold on to. I can't worry about what I don't know. I hold on to what I do know. And what I do know is my God's big enough.
Amen.
Okay? And then what I'd like to see happen is I'd like to have a room that's a computer room that we use after school for kids to be able to get on the computer to be able to do homework who might not have a computer at home, or to be able to do after school tutoring. Okay? There's all kinds of things, ways in which we can affect this community. Let's go back to vision number 2, love and enjoy one another. Okay? There's all kinds of ways that we might can affect and impact our community if we had something like this to be able to offer. Okay? And so that's what I'm going to work towards. I'm going to work towards all the other 5 visionary things that I've laid out for you, but I will get you a picture of this as much as I possibly can. We'll get a picture of what this looks like and what the changes would look like in here, and we will begin today to believe God.
Amen.
That's all I'm asking. Just believe God. You know? Now the cynics and the critics want to go, I don't know if we can do that or not. You know what? You're right. We can't, but God can.
Amen.
See, that's the point. The point is God can. And my trust is not in Mike. My trust is not in Dan. My trust is not in Don. My trust is in God. But this much I do know. For 1 year, no one has looked at this building. It has been on the market for 1 year, and no one has looked at this building. So obviously God's got a plan. And my job is to tap into the plan. Because when you tap into the plan, it becomes God from there on. I really hadn't intended to tell you this, but I'll tell you this little quick story. I ran into this problem, how old am I now, 54? 22, 23, 24 years ago. Ran into this same problem. I was pastoring a church in Monroe, North Carolina. We were in a building that we paid $1 a year plus taxes and fees, taxes and insurance. We had to insure the building against fire. We had to pay the taxes, and we paid $1 a year. That's all we paid. Okay? And we outgrew it, and I went looking for somewhere for us to go. And God said, I want you to go over here. He showed me a picture of where it was I was going. I was looking at a paper. This building was for lease. God said, that's where I want you to go. How many of you know that immediately on the heels of God's voice, there was another voice? Mm-hmm. We can't do that. And so I didn't pursue it. And I didn't pursue it. And everything I went after, everything died, and everything died, and everything died, and everything died. And all of a sudden, I go back and I'm looking at it again. I call the guy up. He says, I tell you what, I'm really busy right now. I don't have time to show it to you, but if you come by my office, I'll give you the keys. You can go there and just show yourself around. I'm thinking, hey, that's what I'd rather do anyway. So I go over there and I get the keys and I walk in and I'm walking around. I'm looking at this building and I stop and I stand right in the middle of the building. I said, God, is this where you want us? And he said, 6 months ago. That's what he said. I said, yes, sir. So I went back and I said, guy, how much you want? He said, $1,000 a month. I said, well, we'll take it. People went crazy. How do you go from $1 a year to $1,000 a month? My church treasurer came to me one night. He said to me, I've come to show you in the books. This will not work. I said, okay. Now let him show it to me. He said, this is what we got coming in. This is what we got going out. There's not $1,000 left over. He showed me everything in the books. Wade. Showed me everything in the books.
And when he got done, I said, now take it to somebody who cares. Take the books to God. Tell God what your problem is. Because my problem is not the books. My problem is, God said go, I'm going, the $1,000 is God's problem. You're talking to the wrong person, Wade. Because this is not my problem. We moved there, met there for 5 years, and were never late on a payment. $1,000 a month, from $1 a year to $1,000 a month in one swipe. It actually, there was so much resistance to the move that it finally got down to the point where all of the sound equipment in that particular church I owned personally, and I actually owned all the chairs because you all gave them to us. You all gave us chairs to use. So I owned all the chairs. I owned all the sound equipment. I got up one Sunday and I said, listen, starting next Sunday, here's the address of where I'm going to be pastoring. All of you who want to meet here, stay here. And all of you who want me to be your pastor, meet me over at 204 Pedro Street in Monroe. But you won't have any chairs to sit on because I'm taking the chairs with me. And it won't be any sound equipment because I own that and I'm taking the sound equipment with me. But me, my sound equipment, and my chairs are all going to be over on Pedro Street. And you're welcome to come if you want to come. You're welcome to stay here if you want to stay here. Because it's not my job to herd you. It's my job to lead you.
Yes.
Not my job to make you do something. It's my job to give you the option, just like the Holy Spirit does. You can do what's right or you can do what's wrong. Choice is yours. Make a choice. So to all of the naysayers, let me just say, hey, you got a problem with this? Not my problem. Talk to God. And you'll find out God is bigger. God's bigger. Amen? I am currently doing some research. I'm going to buy a life insurance. I have a life insurance policy already that should something happen and I pass away, my family's taken care of. Michelle will be able to stay in the house for as long as she needs to stay in the house. Won't pay the house off. But it gives her enough money. She can stay in the house for as long as she needs to stay in the house. It will pay off every bill we owe. All the cars will be paid. Credit cards will be paid. Personal loans will be paid. She won't owe not a single person. She'll have the house paid for 24 months. House payments would be made. All she'd have to do is just pay the power and it's all hers. If something were to happen to me. Because that's what responsible people do. I'm going to take out another life insurance policy. I'm going to list the beneficiary as Lamplight Church. And if I live to see this thing happen, great. But if I die before it happens, I want to make a contribution to make it happen. I believe in it that much. Every week, we talk about what's your takeaway? Because you see, your pastor is of the conviction that if you walk out the door without having heard something that applies to you personally, all you've done is spectate. You haven't participated. Say that again. All you've done is spectate. You haven't participated. Because if you'll participate, God will speak to you in a service. He'll tell you what He wants to tell you if you're listening to what it is He wants to say. Today, what I want to do in closing is I want to help us with our takeaway. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, some of the most familiar pieces of Scripture that are in the Bible. Huh?
It's right after Proverbs.
If you open your Bible right smack in the middle, that'll be Psalms. And to the right of that will be Proverbs. And then to the right of that will be Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. To everything, there is a season. There's a time, and there's a purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which was planted. There's a time to kill. There's a time to heal. There's a time to break down. And there's a time to build up. There's a time to weep. And a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And irrespective of what we were told when we were younger, there's a time to dance.
Hallelujah.
There's a time to cast away stones, and there's a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend, that word there means to tear. And there's a time to sow what it is we have torn. There's a time to keep silent. And there's a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war. And there is, ladies and gentlemen, a time of peace. In closing today, I will, only to those who give me permission, number one, and number two, to those who I get permission from the Spirit of God and I get your permission, I would like to speak to some of you about a time, about a season, about a reason. You know, the reason for the season is something that we say quite frequently this time of year. But all of our lives have reason to them. All of our lives go through seasons. And all of our lives have purpose. We may not have discovered our reasons, we might not have discovered our purposes, but that doesn't mean the reasons and the purposes are not there. So, Pastor Mike, with your permission, I'm going to start with you. If we just stop and think for a moment, neither of us could have envisioned where we would be today. That when we think back to last December, you and I were just getting back from Sanford, North Carolina, where we'd spent 2 weeks checking out that area. And we were working to get at the same place. And there were times when your commitment to this particular place, you would say things to me that I would confront you with about how your commitment needed to be greater. And now look where we are today. As committed to this call and this cause as anyone in the room, and as committed to this call and this cause equally together, that should we rewind the clock 15 years, there's no way that 15 years ago we could have known that while I was serving in your place, that the day would come when you would serve in this place. Unbelievable. Because there's a time, and there's a reason, and there's a purpose under heaven for why we are here and for why we are still here. Anna, can I speak to you? There was a dream. I still have the written copy. I still don't know what it means. I don't think you do either. It doesn't matter. It was real. It was prophetic. What does the handwriting on the wall say? I don't know. But I believe it was of God. And there's a time, there's a reason, and there's a purpose for that dream and for why you are where you are, doing what you are today. Hold on. And as we continue to walk faithfully with God, God will answer our questions. Can I speak to you? It makes what has happened in the past cannot affect our past. It can only ruin, if we allow it, our futures. We are where we are today
as a testimony to the redemptive power of grace. There's a line to be drawn in the sand. And I'm not allowing what has been to corrupt what will be. And a charging forward that yes, I am not worthy. Yes, I feel inadequate. And yes, God is greater than both of those things. Can I speak to you? It is no accident that you are where you are. It is no accident that all of the things that have preceded your life up to this point, none of those things were an accident that brought you to where you are right this minute. There's a place here for rootedness, to where the sailing, that's not the word I'm wanting to use. God help me, please. The sailing here, there. That's what I'm trying to say. Has brought you to a place where now there is a harbor for you to get off the ship, grow roots, and not only be helped, but be a great help. Hold on. Brian, can I speak to you? Yes or no? Life and death is in God's hands. Why my wife passed when my wife passed, I will never know. Why my life took a downward nose turn after her passing is so understandable. But why September 2010? Why September 2010? Why September 2010? There is no answer for that question, but that's when grace landed afresh to give you a place where you can start all over again. People who love you, loved you prior to September 2010, love you post September 2010. We'll love you 2011 and 12 and 13 until one day either I attend your funeral or you attend mine. There's a time and a reason and a purpose that is all under heaven. Hold on. Pastor Jim, can I speak to you? So why does God take the mind and leave the body? I don't know. If I knew, let me just be this honest. There have been times I've called him down from heaven because I was ready to kick his ass. Because I felt like that at the point I really, really, really needed some help, he took all the help I had away from me. But you know what? In my angriest moments, he looked at me and he said, I still love you. You can be just as angry as you want to be. You can throw all the temper tantrums down you want to throw. And I'm going to love you anyway. I don't know why your body is still here. But you know what I know? Your body is still here. And you know what that means? That means God ain't done yet. And that's what I hold on to. God's not done yet. Oh, I can't answer all the mind questions. Can't answer all the mind questions. I just can't answer all the mind questions. But the body's still here. And there's a time, and there's a season, and there's a place for all things. Teresa, can I speak to you? Okay. I won't speak to you without your permission.
You don't have to if you don't want to. I'll speak to you right there. From homeless to a home. What an example. From nobody to love me to a whole bunch of somebodies who love you. From having nothing to still not having everything, but doing very well emotionally, physically. Still got candy. I mean, I still got candy. And life is good. And God has brought us together for such a time, for such a place, and for such a purpose. For there's a reason under heaven. Woody, can I speak to you? I look around the room, and of everybody in the room who would have been the easiest for them to throw their hands up and say, I quit. You're it. And yet, you threw up because it's been tough on you physically. It's been tough on you mentally. It's been tough on you emotionally. And in the midst of all that stress and that pain, speaking by the Spirit, it's not like I was there or that you've told me anything. You probably have thrown up, but you haven't given up. And that's the important thing, is that you haven't given up. And probably more so than anyone else currently sitting in this room, there are a lot of unanswered questions. There's an awful lot of, why couldn't it have been this way? And why is it this way? But God, in spite of it all, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. And what I want to say to you is, keep going. Keep going. For there is nothing more precious in the sight of God than faithfulness. So, Mr. and Mrs. Kinlaw, can I speak to you? Why do we love each other like we do? Because if you stop and think about it in this world, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever. But in the world in which we live right here, there's all the reasons in the world. This place, by God's grace, not me, okay, please understand, I'm not taking any credit for anything. By God's grace, this place here has been a place where you could throw an anchor down. And in the midst of all of the whys and what fors and what abouts, there was one thing you knew for sure, the anchor was still holding. And we've watched as the children have grown right in front of our eyes and continue to do so. And the tough years are right ahead. The aliens are on their way to get them. And if you've ever had a teenager, you know the aliens come and snatch your child. Yeah. And keep them 15, 20 years and then hopefully bring them back. So let's not act like it's not true. It's true. But the anchor will still hold. I mean, let's just look at the Goliath that you have defeated. And what a huge strength that will be to others for whom that Goliath is defeating them. I don't know why we love each other like we do. I just know we love each other. And I love that. Dan, can I speak to you? All I want to say to you is this. We can't spell rejection in this house. We can't even spell it. Our strong suit is not its pastor. It's not his worship. And it's not its preaching. Our strong suit is that we love one another. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part, do we love one another. You are welcome to be loved. There are some in the room for whom I don't feel any particular unction, and that's okay. Because the principle I am trying to get across is still the same. There is a time, there is a purpose, and there is a season. And it isn't that some in here play an important part, and some play a less important part. For in the kingdom, there is no such thing. We all play an important part in the vision that God has given us for this place. Let's believe. Let's trust God. And let's hold fast that He who has begun a good work in you is faithful. He is faithful. What a great word. He is faithful to finish. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit that is within me, I release this word unto your people. We stand before you today to declare that you, O God, are great and mighty. You supply all my need according to your riches and glory. The cattle, 1,000 hills are all yours. Today, O God, afresh and anew, I speak to myself. I speak to every demon in the room. And I speak to every angel in heaven. And I declare, God, I trust you. I reaffirm every molecule of my being. Trust in you. For you are the trustworthy God. And I adore you. Thank you for Jesus.